Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
Nick Faribault from Penn Live joins us. He's on the YouTube channel. The numbers are skyrocketing on YouTube. It's a fun watch, especially with Bob's mannequin here, as always. Just go to our YouTube channel or go to our website, 937thefan.com, and that'll take you right to YouTube. It's a good watch. Limits, we need to get you on the air on the video part of it, right?
I love that, Joe. We put a little camera just right above the window here. You can see me. I could wave.
Right. People get your fashion tips every single day.
Yes.
Nick, it's already begun with the defense as far as changes. Darius Slay's snap count going down rather dramatically. What else would you do? First of all, do you agree with that move? And secondly, what would be your next one? Maybe a little more Nick Herbig and a little less Alex Highsmith?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the correct way to go about it. You need more.
What's happening?
Think about Herbig.
Nick,
is somebody at your door?
No, they're changing the pipes right below me right now, it would appear. So
that was unbelievable.
The ground was shaking, y'all. I was like, whoa. But yes, Nick Herbig, I think playing more makes sense. I think Slay dogged it on the Savion Williams touchdown, the first one of the second half. You got to have compete. At the very least, this team needs effort. There's not enough dog, if you will, on this defense right now. And Echols at least brings that to the table. He brings intensity. I also think, you know, you look at Jabril Peppers needs to play more in the box with Deshaun Elliott probably done for the year now. I think he's their best safety, to be quite honest with you, so needs more Peppers. And I would also play a little more Peyton Wilson on rundowns. I think Wilson was great last night, two nights ago now. I thought he played really well. So we'll see what they can kind of do. But personnel changes, I think, are going to be little tweaks, but I don't think it's going to wholly fix this defense. They need some really look-in-the-mirror stuff.
This is unbelievable.
He put his light on mute after that.
Nick, what's the problem there? Is there pipes that have broken? Have they snapped? Are you in any kind of danger? What's the project being done?
No, I'm not in danger. It's something that's been kind of overdue. They're kind of rusty and leaky. So
yeah,
whenever rain maybe comes in, you know, you always have to worry about things coming down. So let's not flood my basement, and that's a nice idea. So fixing this because it has rained so much often. But yeah, so you guys get to hear the beautiful sounds of a hammer right below me shaking the ground of which I sit upon right now.
certainly. Is there any chance that, and I know they're busy and on a time clock, any chance that they could postpone it for 10 minutes?
Yeah, right, honestly. Or I could move myself. So you guys want to see live action moving?
Yeah, that would be exciting. Look at this, Limits. It's like a
house
tour.
This looks like the Blair Witch Project. Look at the camera shaking.
Campus Cribs. This is the Faribault household.
This is incredible. I don't know that we're not going to hear. Looks like a nice place you got there, Nick.
Real nice. It is. It's a nice little place out here. So
where?
We'll
what part
instead.
Of town? What part of town you living in?
I'm up in the North Hills. I'm in McCandless.
Nice. All right. So well. You're right. I don't think there's any easy fixes on this defense. Should Terrell Austin be fired?
I'm getting to that point. I mean, listen, here's the thing with TA. How much does he really affect everything week to week? I think that's the question.
I mean, he does appear to be the play caller. He's got the play sheet. He's the guy who's talking into the headset on every play. So he must have some kind of effect.
He does, because, you know, when I talk to players, that's who they go to get the adjustments done. Not Mike T, Terrell Austin. So if you have any suggestions, you go to Terrell Austin. So that tells me he's got at least the duty on game day. Now, how much of the game planning aspect, how much of the philosophy is Terrell Austin versus Mike Tomlin? That's a big question. But I mean, I think there's this kind of ideas out there at points that, you know, moving on from TA would do nothing. And I don't really agree with that. I think it would bring a fresh voice. There's even an argument to be made that maybe Mike T needs to get more involved. I think, you know, just to see what that looks like. And they kind of need to remove all doubt of who the play caller is. So I do think, you know, moving on from Terrell Austin, if this continues down this path, and certainly I think they're facing a team that is likely to repeat that performance, then yes, I think that is going to be on the docket sooner rather than later, to be quite honest with you.
Do you think they're going to look for defensive help at the trade deadline? And if so, where, Nick?
I mean, listen, I don't know if they're going to look for help at all. Is this team worth investing picks into? I think is a real question for the Steelers at this point. It should be. You know, a corner free safety, I think, make a lot of sense. I think you have Peppers that's strong, but you need a free safety. Thornhill has really struggled this year. Corner, I think, is another one, because if Echols isn't the answer and Slay is still doing what he's doing, you still need another guy. You know, I thought Roger McCreary from Tennessee would have been a good pickup. He just got traded to the Rams yesterday. So, you know, I mean, you could look maybe to Seattle. Maybe someone like Reek Wolin could be something that you look at, try and take on a reclamation project there. But, you know, there's not a ton of obvious options. You could go to Tennessee again and look at safety room. They have Amani Hooker there. I think that could make a lot of sense for them.
Yeah, man.
So, like, there's names out there that make sense. There's probably names that they could trade for. The real question I think the Steelers have to look at is, do you want to put picks into this team? Do you want to spend picks on this team in an effort to win when this defense has looked as bad as it has?
Not premium picks, that's for sure. But again, I'm not looking for, you know, Richard Sherman in his prime. I'm looking for average cover guys, which would be a major upgrade. That's all. Give me an average cover guy. Give me a safety who knows what he's doing. That's all. And you know, if that's a fifth round pick, whatever, then yeah, I think it's worth it, Nick. But what about the other side of the ball? We see Adam Schefter reporting that the Steelers are on the lookout for not just a receiver, realizing that they signed one today, Valdez-Scantling, but also another playmaker at maybe another position. What do you make of that report?
I mean, I don't know. It can't be a tight end, can it?
So I hope not.
So it would have to be a running back, in which case, I mean, there probably are going to be a few running backs that could be available. It wouldn't be a star. Would it be a bigger back, you know, to kind of complement what Warren and Gainwell are doing? I think Warren and Gainwell are a fine duo. I think that they are good. But if it's a guy that I think can bring some, you know, natural explosiveness, like they was what Caleb Johnson was supposed to be, right? He was supposed to be the explosive wide zone runner. If they can find someone in that mold, sure. But I mean, I think if they're going to make a trade offensively, I'd still be stunned if it wasn't wide receiver. MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, is just, I mean, he signed to the practice squad one, so that says enough of that.
Yeah.
Two, we're talking about a guy that has been horribly inconsistent over his career. He's a big player, nothing machine. He's a depth piece. The emergence of Roman Wilson also, to me, lessens that need. But if they're going to make a big trade, it should be at wide receiver. It should be for Jacoby Myers. It should be for someone like Rashid Shaheed or Chris Olave. But really, Myers, we talked about this last week, is the type of player they need on this offense. So to me, that's where you go. Running back, what's the point, honestly, to some degree? I'm not sure I would invest in a running back. And Lord forbid they trade for another tight end.
No, I was just going to ask you about that. First, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL games all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 9 matchup. between the Indianapolis Colts and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. This whole Caleb Johnson thing, yes, he was going to fit perfectly into Arthur Smith's zone scheme, but a funny thing happened on the way to executing that zone scheme. They switched back to more man-to-man blocking. So where does that leave Caleb Johnson? Well, that and everything else. Is this guy going to turn out to be a bust?
I mean, it's kind of looking that way right now. He's had zero snaps the last 2 weeks. So do with that what you will. They were starting to get him some carries and starting to let him kind of fill in the gaps against the Vikings and the Browns. And then all of a sudden, boom, he gets his role completely yanked. He's not on kickoffs anymore for obvious reasons. There's a lot here that doesn't fit what he does, right? The man-to-man, the gap stuff, that's Gainwell and Warren more than him. And they're still running a ton of wide zone stuff, but he just doesn't look as polished as those other two. He makes the wrong reads, I think, a lot. The game is just moving so fast in his head. Like, you can just see it. Every time he goes out there, he looks like it's a different world. It doesn't look like he's comfortable at all. He doesn't run with physicality behind his pads. He doesn't make the right cuts a ton. And so I think he's starting to get it in practice, but it's got to translate onto the field. And right now he's not getting opportunities because the Steelers are playing in a lot of close games, and you're not taking Warren or Gainwell off the field given how they've played this year. And so, it's trending that way with Caleb Johnson. I think you can be fair because he's a young player to give him one more year, and maybe he can turn it on year two. I wouldn't be stunned if that happened. He's a young player. I think he's 20 right now. So he was a true junior coming out of Iowa. So he's not, you know, there's a lot of youth there. There's a lot of growth. There's a lot of seasoning needed in his game. But certainly right now, he is not nearly as ready as they thought he was. They thought they were going to get big contributions from him, and they've gotten, I mean, Joe, they've gotten nothing, to be quite honest with you, out of it.
Except a memorable kick return. Limits?
The secondary could definitely be helped out, Nick, by the pass rush being able to benefit and get to the quarterback. How much blame and responsibility should there be on T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward?
I mean, there should be some, but I also understand why they're not getting home in some respects, because the ball's coming out so fast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Love got rid of the ball in under 2.5 seconds on 27 of his 38 attempts. That's a lot of them. So you kind of need to marry the rush and the coverage together. I think the Steelers do it worse than anybody in the league. They don't marry the front with the coverage. You leave open voids way too often. Their blitzes are very predictable. This is where scheme, I think, comes up to a degree. And also, you see guys making really bad plays and their eyes in zones and vacating zones and the second level on the back seven. So there's part of that. I do think Watt hasn't looked the same. I think if you look at it, the first step, kind of Next Gen Stats tracks players' first steps. In 2023, his first step was off the ball in 0.75 seconds. It's now 0.94 2 years later. That's significant. That's 0.2 tenths of a second. And in the NFL, that can be the difference between a sack and just a pressure. And so that is significant. But I do think the front, to some degree, has been neutralized by the lack of coverage ability on the back end. They did stop the run for the most part in this game, and it still didn't matter because what happened behind them really left voids open. They were able to quick game them. And when the Steelers did get the opportunities to get after Jordan Love, I think that's where they fell short on some of those third downs. On the big throw to Watson, for example, you walk crashes inside. You cannot let Love get outside the pocket and even attempt that play. If you keep him inside the pocket, he either throws it away or you sack him. So there are some things that they can work on, but I'm not nearly as concerned about the pass rush as I am about that secondary and the linebackers.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Nick Farabaugh of Penn Live is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. He has to get over to the Tomlin News Conference. So we'll end with a little game. You ready, Limits and, yes. And Nick?
Let's do it.
I've got the top 15 trade deadline targets, just regardless of which team they might wind up on, just the top 15 guys. You tell me if it's realistic for the Steelers, and if not, what would be a good team for this guy? Let's go with number one first, and that is Max, don't call me Sidney Crosby. Obviously, I'll say not realistic for the Steelers, but man, would he look good on the Buffalo Bills or the Cincinnati Bengals? Nick?
You sure would. Yeah, I don't think that's realistic at all, but the Cowboys could also use a premier edge rusher, couldn't they? So one of those two teams between the Bengals and the Cowboys, the Bills make a lot of sense there too.
I'd like to see him on the Lions.
Oh, my God. Mm. Please, no. Jeffrey Simmons, number two, defensive tackle Titans. And like Crosby, they're saying they're not going to trade him. Who cares what they say? Anybody can get traded if the price is right. Nick, Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, not realistic, but I'll tell you what, I'd love to see him on the Green Bay Packers. Give Micah Parsons in that front another weapon and really throw that there. The Bills, again, with Ed Oliver down with a biceps injury, I think also makes sense.
Yeah, Nick took the words right out of my mouth. With Oliver hurt, he'd be perfect with the Bills.
Man, I'll say Trey Hendrickson, number three on the list. How about him? I mean, realistically, anybody could use these guys. You know what I mean? You said Dallas. What about the Rams? What about... You know, any number of contenders. What about Denver? Anybody could use these guys. But what about Trey Hendrickson? Do you think he does get traded?
I don't. I think they're going to hold on to him. He's also hurt right now with that hip injury. We'll see where that's going. I also think a team that could maybe pop in here is the Niners. They've been so hurt, and Bosa's done for the year.
Yeah.
So they could use a premier pass rusher. So Trey Hendrickson, to me, makes a lot of sense there. If you're going to try and separate that, the Seattle Seahawks, I also think could be a team that maybe makes a big investment defensively. It feels like that's kind of what they're missing right now with their offense really humming.
Jaylen Waddle, wide receiver, Dolphins.
That'd be my top target if I were the Steelers. I don't think it's realistic, though. I don't think he gets traded. You have to get rid of your first round pick, given what the quarterback situation is. They want that probably still. But if he did get moved, I mean, there's a few teams I think that make sense there. We talk about the Bills. I think the Bills kind of need a top weapon. I think the Packers could use a top flight weapon.
Yes, they could.
There's a few teams there that could make a lot of sense for Jaylen Waddle. I think he's an absolute stud.
Chargers. Anybody could use him.
Right.
Any of these teams. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau for the Giants, number five.
See, that one I think could make sense to be traded because they have Abel Carter now with Brian Burns. Steelers obviously not in that one, but you know any of the teams we just named for Crosby and Hendrickson,
yeah.
Kayvon Thibodeau is a high upside option for any of those groups.
Chris Olave, wide receiver, Saints.
I think he stays put. I think the Steelers would be in on it if he was available. I think that'd be a good trade target for them to not only have for this year, but to extend.
Yes.
I think that's actually what ends up happening. I think he gets extended in New Orleans. But what I do think, you know, when you think of the Bills, you think of the Steelers, I think the Chiefs could maybe utilize him as well. There's more than enough teams there for a Chris Olave market, but I don't see him getting moved.
Jacoby Myers, Raiders, wide receiver. And while you're at it, Breece Hall, running back, Jets.
Yeah, see, Myers is a guy I think gets moved. I think the Raiders are posturing and trying to get someone to kind of cave there, and we'll see who it is. I think the Steelers are definitely in on that I think the Bills are in there. I think the Broncos, I think the Falcons. I think there's a few different teams that are in on Jacoby Myers. It's not a guy, you know, a guy that's going to just get they're going to get rid of him for a sixth. It's going to be, you know, a fifth or a fourth or something like that. The Steelers are going to be in on that. Breece Hall, I think, probably ends up getting moved. I don't think it's to the Steelers, though. I could see him, you know, going to a place with a wide zone scheme that kind of needs that juice. You know, maybe could he complement Kyren Williams in L.A.? Could he go up, you know, to Seattle? Minnesota maybe could be a really interesting option there. I know they're struggling, but
– And there's two left. There's two left in 30 seconds. Alante Taylor, maybe the best corner on the market from the Saints, and Rashid Shaheed, wide receiver, Saints.
Both those are realistic. I think Taylor would be a good fit in Pittsburgh, but if not, I think, you know, I talked about Packers. That's another one. And Shaheed, I actually really, really like. And so – He's realistic in a bunch of different places, but the Steelers should be in on him too.
Great stuff, Nick. We appreciate it. I know you're off to the news conference. Ask good questions and take care.
Thanks for having me on, as always.
Wonderful man, Limits, and very polite, I might add.
Incredible, man. We've had a lot of fun times together, Nick and I.
That was good, going over each of these trade candidates. Alante Taylor is a guy who stands out to me. Get somebody who can cover people. I mean...
Wouldn't that be nice? Somebody that covers the opposing wide receivers.
Simplistic, but that it used to be at the NFL trade deadline. Oh my God, that guy can't possibly fit in our system. No, if your scheme is simple enough, you have that guy. Go cover him. Don't worry about anything else. I'd love to see him here. All right, coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, what a great lunch we just had. Did you get a sandwich? Joe?
Sorry about that. My mic wasn't on. Yeah, that place is unbelievable.
Tim's Corner Market. Very good.
I had the macaroni salad, some nice chips, little bacon, BLT, it seemed like, with a little turkey mixed in.
Wait, you did have the BLT?
Yes, I did.
I didn't see the bacon out there.
That's because I had the last one before you got to it.
Oh, man.
Great place. Meanwhile, there's a lot of other things happening in sports other than the Steelers' defense. One of those things, it's always somebody here. It's always somebody, and now it's Joe Shad from the Palm Beach Post. MLB should consider going to a ghost runner on second, starting with the 13th inning in postseason games. Just randomly starting with the 13th inning? I thought that he was joking, but then he says, I don't think a World Series game ending at 2:51 a.m. Eastern is good for anyone, players or fans. So ending at 1:51 Eastern would be... Come on! Limits, it was a legendary game. The Penguins and the Flyers once went five overtimes. The whole point is that doesn't happen very often. That was a legendary sporting event. Penguins Capitals a long time ago, multiple overtimes. Penguins Red Wings in the Stanley Cup Finals on the Sikora goal. This is part of what makes sports great. No, we don't need a ghost runner in the 13th inning. Please leave with that take.
Yeah, hey, buddy. Get over it. You don't want to watch the game anymore? Turn it off. Go to bed.
Go to bed, old man.
It's the World Series.
Yes.
No gimmicks or any of this other crap that they try to do to speed up
the game. Who cares about the players? Now, I don't think the game is ending at 251 is good for anyone, players or fans, says Joe Shad. Come on. Part of the challenge now is they all had to stay up till probably 5 in the morning and they have a game tonight. It's become totally intriguing and unique. This is what you want in sports.
Yes.
I mean, it would be a problem if every World Series game ended at 2:30 in the morning. I agree with that. But once every 50 years or once every 100 years, I think we can deal with it.
Get your fellow Joe in order here, Joe. Come on.
Yeah, this is just really embarrassing, the rest of us Joes out here, us regular Joes. In the meantime, the Pirates have hired a new pitching coach. Did you see this story, O Limitless Wonder?
I did, formerly of the Houston Astros.
Yeah, and Jason Mackey wrote about it today. And it's Bill Murphy, good old Billy Murphy of the Astros. And while, you know, there's some things to like about his resume and the organization he came from, I mean, Mackey points out that in 2022, for example, Houston was flat out dominant. Well, yes, they were. They also had a $25 million pitcher in Justin Verlander. I don't know what was wrong with the pitching around here where Oscar Marin had to go. The one thing they did good was pitch, and they fired that guy. So I don't know what they're doing, but there are things to like about his resume, I guess, and the fact he was in that organization is great. Now let's see if the Pirates can well, they seem to have some pitching talent, right? Let's see if they can come up with the kind of depth of talent that Houston has had. I tend to think it's more about talent than the pitching coach myself. You?
Based on some of the things that I read last night coming from like the Houston area, that they seemingly are upset about this loss and that Murphy was also getting a lot of interest from
Well, why did he come
teams.
Here? Why did he come here?
Chance to work with Paul Skeens. Chance to work with Bubba Chandler. I mean, it is the Pirates. Yeah, you could say that is an attractor, but don't you think it's enticing to work with one of the greatest pitchers of all time?
Yeah, you're right about that, Limits, and I cede the point to you.
Thank you.
Next. The Penguins, what a story they are. They've got the second most points in the Eastern Conference. I keep thinking that they're getting outplayed as I'm watching games, like last night, for example. I think they had 31 giveaways, something like that, and yet they find it somewhere, I think largely through it's been really good goaltending. It's been a resurgence big time of Gino, and last night it was Sid. That was a night to savor. When it's Sid and Gino doing the damage. Isn't it, Limits? I mean, that was just flat-out fun. And then Sid, you look at he got a 1,700th point. You look at the most points with a single franchise in NHL history. You ready for this one?
Please.
He passed Gretzky a while ago on that. He's 22 short of tying Mario. He's like 54 short of tying Steve Yzerman. And he's only 108 short of Gordie Howe. Sidney Crosby, if he stays here, is going to finish his career with the most points with a single franchise in the history of the league. How did I not know that? Like, when they flashed that graphic, even though I know Gretzky played for the Kings and Rangers, I still would have said him with Edmonton.
And the St. Louis Blues.
And the Blues. I didn't know that Sid was here on this. I frankly admit that. Man, was that fun. His goal late in the game where he cracked in his own rebound on a great pass, a great lead pass from Brian Rust. That was fun to watch. Gino's been fun to watch this whole season. I don't know. Malzy asked me when will I on my mailbag. Malzy weighed in. Did you know that?
No, yeah. I did not see Malzy in the mailbag.
Very exciting to have a celebrity in the mailbag. And he asked, you know, when will they convince you that something real is happening here? And I said around Thanksgiving. I'm not convinced, but I don't care much if I'm convinced or not. And who cares if I am or not? They're fun to watch right now. And I'm tuning in tonight, I can tell you that much, for Penguins Flyers. And I believe they're calling this, what is it, the Frozen Frenzy? All 32 teams in action. It's the sixth 16-game day in league history. But tonight, all the starts, or most of them, are staggered. We're going to get things going all night long here. Starts at 6:30 with Vegas, Carolina. It's a pretty hot matchup. 9 p.m., you have Jersey at Colorado. So is that. And mixed in there, you have Penguins Flyers Limits. Your thoughts?
This is good for the NHL because we know that they have a marketing problem. They have a putting out their product for exposure problem. So I'm glad that the NHL is making creative ideas like this to try to showcase the game. But on that Crosby goal, I thought it was kind of hilarious. It kind of felt like Kobe or LeBron throwing it off the backboard to himself when he threw it off the pad and then immediately got his own rebound and threw it into an empty net for like throwing it off the backboard to yourself for a dunk. It was great.
And the crowd went nuts. It was fun. It was a fun game to watch. They're fun to watch. They're winning. Can you imagine what a blight it will be on the Pirates if the Penguins make it back to the playoffs before they do?
Sad.
Very sad. Now, I got a couple questions in the mailbag this week about Pitt football. Can they make the playoff? And the answer is yes, they can. I wouldn't be betting on it necessarily. But we're down to the wire here. And if you would have told me, you know, a month ago that Pitt would be playing really big football games this season, I would have said, you're crazy. But here they are. They're at Stanford. And if they win, and wouldn't it be very Pitt-like to lose, but if they win, they're 7-2 overall and 5-1 in the conference limits. Then they play Notre Dame, and that's that would be the definition of a pretty big game. I didn't think Pitt was going to play in any this year. And I know Notre Dame's not in the conference, but it's the number 12 ranked team in the country. And if you beat them, you can end maybe their college football playoff hopes. I think that would be the end of Notre Dame.
Three losses.
That's a damn big game.
Huge game.
And if Pitt wins that game, then all of a sudden the ACC's on the table. You're at number 8 Georgia Tech, followed by number 10 Miami. Again, I'm not predicting that they would win those games, but to get to the second last game against Georgia Tech, even if you lose to Notre Dame in a good game, you're harboring realistic playoff goals at that point. You are. If you win the ACC, you're in. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of teams fighting for those spots and a lot of complications there. But the point is that Pitt has a chance to play in some really big games, and it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could put themselves in position for the playoff because they have a stud quarterback.
And at the start of the year, I even said I thought they were going to win the Miami game. Now the Canes, I think, have showed that they are frauds. Carson Beck had a couple
frauds.
Of good moments. Yeah, I think Miami is frauds. I don't think they're that great.
Limits called Miami frauds.
I did, yes. I think Miami is fraudulent.
Wait a second. They've only lost one game.
Haven't they lost two?
They did?
Or is it just one?
It's showing me they only lost to Louisville.
Regardless, I don't think they're very good. I don't think they're going to win the ACC. I don't think they're that good.
Limits, you're already going the fraud route. They've beaten Notre Dame, South Florida, Florida State.
They almost lost to Florida State, who's pretty bad. We are starting to see that. They escaped against Notre Dame at the beginning of the year.
But
that
look
was a
at
very
the
impressive
schedule.
Game.
SMU, Syracuse, NC State, Virginia Tech. They're going to go into the Pitt game at 10-1. I think.
Yeah, there's no Georgia Tech on this schedule. There's no Virginia on this schedule.
How good is Georgia Tech? Can Pitt beat them? You tell me, Limits.
I think they can. King, their quarterback, has had a really good year. Nobody expected Georgia Tech to be all that good this year. Nobody, at least, expected this, right around a top 10 team in the country. I think it's doable.
Who have they beaten?
Georgia Tech?
Yeah. Georgia Tech. That's who we're talking about.
Please allow me 5 seconds.
I'll tell you who
schedule.
They've beaten, Limits.
Here we go.
Wrong.
Temple.
Nobody.
Clemson. They did beat Clemson.
Clemson stinks.
They beat Colorado.
Colorado stinks.
Yeah, they're terrible. They beat Duke.
Duke stinks.
On the road. That's a decent win. They'll play Georgia at the end of the year. That's when we'll really find
Georgia
out.
Georgia stinks. No, that's when we'll find out about. No, we'll find out about them against Pitt. All I'm saying is Pitt has a chance here, which is unbelievable, going into the final three games. Now let's see if they can beat Stanford. That wouldn't it just be just like them to lose that one and then come back and upset Notre Dame? Guess how much money you can get into the Pitt-Stanford game for?
Wrong. $10.
Eight.
Eight?
$8.
Man,
By the time Saturday rolls around, they may pay you to go to the game, Limits.
So it's one of those, I left two tickets on my windshield, and when I came back, there were four?
Should I? That's a good line. I never heard that. Should we make a last-second trip to California and go to that game? And I'll play golf on Saturday?
Yes.
Let's look into that.
Would you like to find somebody to announce my Saturday game for me?
Yeah, get Donnie. I don't care. Call in sick.
Okay.
All right, let's get to Mike Tomlin.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.